I called this message Baptism of Fire because it truly felt the last few weeks leading up to the trip. I wasn't sure we were going because fires kept raging. We were just praying for rain. And the trip became unimportant to me as I spoke to one of my best friends who lives up there, MJ, who I've worked with for the past decade, as they were evacuated and they had to leave their homes. They were spread out across Quebec. She took vulnerable youth down to Quebec City, and she didn't know if she'd be returning home. They had to send their pets to another community in Quebec. Sometimes families were separated. It was depending on where there were rooms, where there were cots in gyms, in conference centers available, and they weren't sure if they would be returning to the community, the only community they've ever called home, and if their homes would still be intact. So when that rain started falling, we were praising the Lord like none other. I couldn't have imagined how they must have felt, because I have never had to leave my home and not known if I would see it again. So once they were able to return to the community, I was like, okay, I guess we better get ready for this thing. I think we're going. And eventually it fell into place. And all along, I had watched God just ask me to keep trusting. No one wants to come. Okay, great. 21 people want to come. Okay, you can do this. It's double than the team you took last year, Steph, but you can do it. Okay. A seatbelt doesn't work. All right, we'll figure out how to fix it. So on and so forth. I can't even remember, I think, all of the challenges that we came up against. But at the end of the week, as Darren said, and Alina alluded to, Alina was baptized. And that was so cool. It was really, really neat, because it is something I had told them about last year when we were there. I've watched other people get baptized in the lake over the years, and I said, this is something that we could do next year, or you never know, a camper might ask to be baptized. And the week before we left, Alina asked, and I said, yeah, let's make that happen. And the minister of the church that owns Sunrise Bible Camp said, yeah, he would. He got so excited, and he went in fully in his clothes. He knew it was happening. And that's Roderick. If you've watched the documentary, The Survivors, he is the main character, the main subject, who walks us through his time in three different residential schools. And to welcome people into the community who look like who their enemies have been, to welcome us into the community with such open arms, and then serve us by blessing us and baptizing one of our own, it is reconciliation to me. Reconciliation is a verb, and what is it but loving each other and working through things to get to a place where we are walking and living in peace and acting like brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm still processing everything that happened. I got to watch everything from a higher level this year than I ever have before. I've been the young youth going, I've been the summer student, I've been the camp counselor, and now I've been Mama Goose. That was the name the camp director gave me, like literally day one, camp hasn't started yet. I'm like Redfern, who I've known and who he grew up in the church. With Paul Racine, with Roderick, and is now giving back to the youth. I go, what should my camp name be? We had walkie-talkies, that's what this is. And he goes, Mama Goose, like literally no hesitation. So for the rest of the week, I got to be called Mama Goose, which just means so much to me. It can make me cry. just to have all my little ducklings follow me around and make this my ducklings, to lead their ducklings in Mysticiny, so that they too can return home and tell their parents and their neighbors and their friends about this guy named Jesus and how much he loves them. So I took the last part of Romans 12 to read to you today, and I've just got a few things I want to say, and then we'll wrap up so that you can go and talk to all of the awesome team members who went with me. So Romans 12, 17 to 21 says, "Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And that is truly what I have seen the people of Mistissini do over my time spent with them. That has always been a privilege over the past decade. They've welcomed us into their space to come alongside them, to minister to their children who were once stolen from their community. And somehow, they've allowed it to become my safe place. And this is what I wanted to tell you about it. So what if we made it our priorities to live at peace with everyone? An impossible goal, probably. But what about the people we encounter on our daily paths? Maybe more reasonable. But what about the coworker who annoys you, or the grievance that keeps calling you from or keeps you from calling your sister, or the neighbor you avoid to escape a 20-minute long conversation about their dog? Certainly, God doesn't expect us to live at peace with these people. What if we made it a habit to lay these not-so-politically-correct thoughts at his feet? Could he transform these weeds into our spiritual gardens, into wildflowers? Would he discard our broken promises to love one another and show us the next right step forward? Well, I have seen the reconciliation in action. I have watched the bruised and battered heal in the community, surrounded on three sides by Quebec's largest freshwater lake, the inland sea that forms the headwaters of the Rupert River as it flows into James Bay. It is home to beautiful, peaceful conquerors, the Cree First Nation of Mistissini. It's a place where I have been welcomed, embraced, and loved, a place where God uses our gifts to pour himself into the community through little children. Ted, could you play the team gifts video for me? And this is something we put together as a team. We wrote a trait for each member about what they showed, what came to mind about their time in Mistissini. It's just going to play while I continue. These children who sang their hearts out to the two songs the youth worship band played earlier this morning. It's a place where I can sense the spiritual realm. Sons and daughters are connected to the earth, though many have tried to interfere. It's a place where the grime of days spent loving children, teens, elders can be washed away in the fresh waters. It's a place where bug bites cover most of your skin, and maybe you pad around with muddy feet and find slivers in your hands. It's a place where, when dead fish wash up on the shore, youth and kids alike marvel at their scaly bodies and create a fish cemetery to honor their lives right there beside me on the beach. It's a place where I was invited into a community's grieving and subsequent healing. It's where I learned for the first time that both sorrow and joy can be held. It's a place where the dominant society tries to permeate, but leaders hold on to their culture and history with everything they have, much like the 14-kilometer trail that encircles the community, protecting everything that's inside. It's a place where gossamery purple petals of the fireweed sway in the wind. Lynchian moss covers the forest floor, and a mama partridge and her babies emerge from the cushion of its embrace. Our days at Sunrise Camp began at 7:30-ish a.m. And went to 7:30 p.m. It was a day camp. Before the wildfires got out of control, it was going to be a sleepover camp. But I think we were grateful it was a day camp, because it's how exhausting it can be to pour yourself out continuously throughout the day. But God continued to fill us with what we needed. We started each morning with a short devotional, and I chose them out of this book my friend Ruth gave me. She brought it back from Israel just last month, and it was a real blessing, Ruth, so thank you. One day, I read a day titled Restored, and it talks about when Jesus returns to the disciples in John 21, and I chose it randomly. Well, I thought we needed some restoration in our souls, so but something cool happened later on that day that related. So it said, after the arrest of Jesus, the disciple Peter denied three times that he was associated with him. And now in John 21, Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to renew his love. And in doing so, perhaps he recalls the shame of rejecting his Lord. And I asked the team to remember if they've ever been disappointed by a friend, by the church, by a loved one. And maybe that's how, a little bit of how Jesus felt being denied by his disciple. And in John 21, verse 15, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus replies with, feed my lambs. So perhaps living at peace with everyone is not such an impossible task, but in order to do so, we must emulate Jesus. And I think this passage gives us the three steps in order to do that. We must first offer grace. Jesus makes his disciples breakfast before offering them an even much better portion. We must, number two, pursue reconciliation. Jesus gives Peter three chances to declare his love throughout this passage and pursue reconciliation with his Savior. And lastly, he forgives freely, as we know. So offer grace, pursue reconciliation, and forgive freely. In moments where I was struggling to have another kind word to say to one of my lovely youth, due to fatigue and exhaustion and what have you, I tried to emulate Jesus. And I watched other members of the team do that as well. It was really on my mind that we make a connection with the summer students from Mysticini who were hired to work alongside our summer students at the camp to pursue reconciliation in words and deeds with them and the elders of the church and the community. And I watched my team follow these three steps time and time again. And I was so, so proud to be part of what they were doing there, what God was doing through them. Then later that morning, we played the So-and-So Show, the VBS video, and it was the same Bible story. In my hurry and overwhelm, I'd forgotten what day it was and what story would be playing for the kids. And again, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Of course, Lord, I love you. Then feed my lambs. So what is reconciliation? As the Lord puts it, go out and feed his lambs. So that lesson that the Lord was teaching me and then I imparted to the team, then he showed to the kids later that day. I'm like, what are the odds? God is so cool that way. Only he can. And this was, I think, something we all kept at the forefront of our minds for the rest of the week in order to keep walking in that grace that we've been given so freely, in order to pour it out and then receive it from the people we were serving as well. So these are the stories that we wanted to share with you today. Please join us in coffee time after the service. Talk to the youth. They're amazing. They can say things better than I can. They've seen the community with fresh eyes for the first time this year, and it was my greatest joy to watch the youth and the adults who came discover the community and get to know my friends who I've walked with for a while, and just to experience God's love and his presence that I've always experienced at Sunrise Camp there anew. So thank you, Central, for supporting us in going to Mistissini this summer again. And we look forward to what God has with this mission, with our national mission, with helping our Indigenous brothers and sisters in our own backyard and further afoot. So thank you for praying with us. I know so many of you held us up in prayer, and we could feel it. We were carried through what was a very challenging place to get to, physically and spiritually this year, and we are so, so grateful that you walked with us through it all. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for each and every person who came to Central today. I pray that you would fill them, that you would replenish their souls with the words that you speak through, or you have spoken through these testimonies and these pictures and these poems. Lord, I pray that they would know how much you love them, that they can come freely before you and accept your gift of grace, the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for a congregation who walks alongside missions like going to Sunrise Camp. Thank you for leaders who say yes to youth pastors' crazy ideas. Thank you for all the help, for all the helping and willing hands who made the trip happen. Lord, as they continue to lead camps this week, this coming week for the teenagers in the community who really struggle, Lord, I pray that you're with the team up there this week who will be leading them. We pray that you would bless the team in the kitchen and Redfern, the camp director, as he leads one more week of camp this summer. We're so grateful that you kept the community safe and the camp safe, and that we were able to go again and be part of the amazing works of healing and reconciliation you are doing in Mistissini. Lord, we commit VBS to you as we move on to another community. Using the same program we used in Mistissini, Lord, I pray that it would bless the children of Cambridge immensely, that it would bless the leaders and the volunteers who are a part of it, and that you would give us the energy and the words and the love that we need to do your work, to be your hands and feet tomorrow and throughout the week. Commit this all in Jesus' name. Amen.